Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Yeah, that's the guitar version of the 20th Century Fox logo from the movie Bohemian Rhapsody. 836 with John Landecker in for Dave Plyer on 720 WGN, and we're going to talk about movies right now with our good friend Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. Hey, thanks for coming on tonight.
Hey,
I appreciate it.
John, how you been?
Been a while. Yeah, it is. It's true. You know, it's an appropriate time to come on, though, and talk about some films because we're right into that time of the year when, between Thanksgiving and the new year, that studios, at least they used to, have, you know, scheduled releases of films that they feel are going to be hits that will, you know, be critical hits, box office hits. They've been sitting on them for the year, and they also need to get them out by the end of the year so that the ones that they've got their money invested in and their belief in would qualify for the Oscars and the Screen Actor Guild Awards. So where do we stand in all of this? I mean, what is the first one out of the box, so to speak, The Fabelmans, the Spielberg movie?
Yes. So Steven Spielberg's more autobiographical film, The Fabelmans, is out now. I mean, you can see it in theaters in select areas. It's my understanding it was supposed to be more of a wide release, but where I'm currently at, which is the Peoria, Illinois area, I could not see it unless I drove back up to Chicago. So it's on my list.
Don't you find that to be a bit weird?
I do.
Yeah.
Particularly because Steven Spielberg is, by you know, quite a few accounts, the man who invented the blockbuster. I mean, this is the guy who, you know, put out Jaws and changed the industry. And also, he's probably our most populist filmmaker. I mean, this is a guy who's made so many different types of films, both, you know, historical films. He's made, you know, big blockbuster types of films that are thriving upon high levels of imagination. And The Fabelmans is supposed to be his truly personal, autobiographical, this is what I was like as a kid movie. And the trailer oozes charm. I mean, it definitely looks like a Spielberg movie. And at the same time, earlier screenings were very positive for it. But for whatever reason, the wide release is not exactly in every single screen around the country yet. So be on the lookout for that one, which I think you know, John, I will be. But I would highly recommend, you know, trying to see that if you can, because for whatever reason, it might be one of those movies that its release is going to be sort of spread out over the next month.
Well, I've got a theory. I've got a theory why they're doing this. You want to hear my theory? Why this?
Absolutely.
Why they're distributing it in this manner? It doesn't appeal to the prime box office demographic. It's not an 18 to 35 year old draw. It's not a Marvel movie. It's not a Pixar movie. It's not an action movie. I really think that that's the reason, because other films that are out now that have, you know, action and animation and things like that, they're everywhere. And I just
Got more coming out too.
Yeah,
before the end of the year.
Really, I just found it to be really weird. It struck me because it's not in my area either, and I'm like, what? This AMC theater, this AMC theater is not carrying the new Spielberg movie, which I have read is like a 4-star tour de force. What's going on? I mean,
yeah,
I think
so
that's it.
One thing that I've sort of picked up on, at least if you look around now, again, me trying to find a screening of The Fabelmans led to me checking every theater within about a 90-mile radius. Just because I wanted to see, like, is it playing anywhere?
Yeah, exactly.
And every single theater, and I'm not trying to, you know, call anybody out or anything, but every single theater is dedicating a specific amount of screens, it seems, to other films that are currently out.
Yes.
You already mentioned the big blockbuster Marvel-type film, Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Huge.
Which is a film I very much enjoyed
right.
and saw with a big crowd and had a great time watching. Definitely is still holding on to its place as the biggest movie out at the moment. And then, of course, Disney's also got Strange World out, an animated film under their label. So, I mean, this is not like we're lacking still having the Disney sort of saturation at the theaters. I mean, you can still, you know, maybe see screenings of movies like Tar, the Cate Blanchett film, or Banshees of Inisherin, which both of those are very big critical darling type films that you will absolutely hear about come Oscar time.
Right.
But those kind of came and went, it feels like, because of what this torrent of big, you know, blockbuster type movies that, by the way, not really restricted to just summer releases anymore.
Right.
You know, they're trying to make sure these movies are dropping around holidays because, again, holidays are great times to go to the movies with family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
So the question of, like, when is it safe to drop your movie if it isn't a $250 million plus blockbuster, to be quite honest with you, it needs to just have its release and run its course. But it's tough to pick nowadays because the schedules, of course, and you know this as well as I do, John, the movie release schedules for the last 3 years have always been swapping and changing. You know, Disney has changed on multiple occasions the release dates for their films for obvious reasons. You know, with the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, thinking it was a good time to release, and then, of course, changing it again. Their entire slate of Marvel projects all got moved all at once. So everything dropping the way it's dropping, I think, has a lot to do with trying to get it in so that, one, like you mentioned, it can be up for awards consideration, which it's not out of the realm to consider something like parts of Black Panther Wakanda Forever being nominated, such as score. Ludwig Göransson won for the first Black Panther, the Oscar for Best Score. So, I mean, these are the types of things that, you know, Disney is offloading its slate, and now they finally got everything out. I believe this is like the closing of a phase of Marvel films. So we have more things to look forward to later next year during the summer. But by and large, you know, you're going to see other big films coming out, specifically in the animation realm. And several things will be dropping on streaming platforms. It's kind of tough to tell you, like, what to look out for on what day in movie theaters.
Yeah.
Because some things are also, you know, like having short releases right now. For example, Glass Onion, the sequel to Knives Out, which Netflix has produced and is putting out there. They're dropping it on Netflix, I believe, December 23rd. But right now, in select areas, you can go see it on a big screen in a movie theater. For only 1 week, it has one of the oddest release plans that I've ever seen for a movie that, you know, has a lot of money behind it, a lot of A-list talent. Obviously, the early take on the film is very positive. So, I mean, I can honestly tell you that we're in sort of like, I could tell you that there's going to be like a 1 week period here in the next 4 weeks where there's not like a whole lot dropping. But honestly, we've got a lot of stuff coming out. There's just off the top of my head, the big stuff. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which is a long-awaited animated film that Netflix is putting out there that looks fantastic, is going to be dropping in December. You're going to have Avatar, The Way of Water. It's been, I think, 14 years in the making.
Yeah.
You know, James Cameron is going to put this out here, and I guess the third film in that series is already in the can as well. But December 16th, you can see, and I would highly recommend probably seeing it on the biggest screen you can find, because the tech behind this movie seems to be like another jump forward in how movies are made. You've got Puss in Boots is coming out. I believe it's called The Last Wish. That's going to be sort of the Puss in Boots from, I believe, like the Shrek films is getting his own movie. So then you've also got I Want to Dance with Somebody, the Whitney Houston biopic that I think a lot of people have been waiting a very long time to see. It's finally ready. It'll be out in late December. And then, you know, if you wanted to look into the more like probably surefire Oscar type films, you know, I'm sure you could still find a screening of something like Tar or Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah.
I know that a movie like a thriller, if you're looking for The Menu, is out right now. It's kind of a hot time to go see movies if you're really wanting to get out and go. Now, obviously, if you had to do a lot of shopping today, you probably didn't make it to the multiplex. But if you're looking for something to do the next 2 days of the weekend, if you open up in whatever app or you know, form you use, even if you just type into Google movie showtimes, you're going to find a lot of good options. And it's not just going to be a big blockbuster type film, which I think is a plus. It's just you have to understand, some of these films are going to get chewed up by the bigger blockbuster films if you don't go see them. So
Let's take a break and we'll do some more with Blockbuster Blake. Oh, I like the way that sounded. Coming up next on 720 WGN.
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
You stop making movies, that'll break your mother's heart.
What was your favorite part?
720 WGN, that's a chopped up trailer for The Fablemans, the new film from Steven Spielberg. It's 8:50 with John Landegger and Friday night for Dave Flyer, and we're talking movies and what's coming up and what's good and what's not with Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. So, you know, I think we pretty much exhausted the Steven Spielberg topic, although I still scratch my head on the way it's being distributed. And then I think, well, would that movie probably be nominated for something? And I'm saying to myself, yeah, it would be. Then it would come back, you know, then it would come back out again. You know what I mean? Like a second time with these accolades attached to it. I mean, that's happened before.
Right. And that was actually something I was going to say, like everything that I've said here or anything we're about to say, January 24th is going to be the day to pay attention to and then maybe look back on what we've said here tonight. That's the day all the Oscar nominations come out. It does have a big windfall in terms of how certain movies get re-released so that they have opportunities to be seen.
Yes.
And that's literally like what happens. I mean, you will see movies that you're like, wait, wasn't that out last month?
Yeah.
Yes. And because it's had two or three nominations and the studio that backed it wants to go after the Oscar, they're absolutely going to re-release it for a short period of time. So anything that we're able to not see right now, and the Fablemans, I would highly recommend, you know, looking out for around that time, because I do have a lot of faith in the idea that, you know, Spielberg's still got the juice, John, he's going to be up the film's going to be up for nominations.
So, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think Spielberg's got plenty of juice. I'm just looking at it as a marketing demographic. That's all I'm looking at.
Yes.
And that it's reached the point where a Steven Spielberg movie doesn't appeal to a 25-year-old, is what I'm saying.
Right. Well, and the odd thing enough about it is that, you know, his last big release, which was West Side Story, did not do very well at the box office.
No.
After it had a 2-year delay on being released. So once it was released, it didn't make as much money as they thought. Once it hit streaming platforms, people started watching it. It gained a lot of steam going into the Oscars last year. And it definitely was one of the more critically loved films. Audiences who watched it also very much enjoyed it. And I found that particular film found itself, split among demographics in terms of, like, you know, there are an entire generation of filmgoers and film lovers who love the original classic Hollywood era West Side Story. And they didn't really want to see the Steven Spielberg remake. And then there was younger people who watched it, and that's the only version they know. Well, somehow they all met in the middle, and now I can't stop hearing how much people enjoy that movie. So I'm not saying it has anything to do with, like, Spielberg not being able to draw people, you know, to the box office anymore. And this particular film is definitely a very personal entry into his filmography. So regardless of whether it, you know, makes, you know, $500 million or more, it doesn't, you know, necessarily, I think, have to, you know, matter in the grand sense. Of course, you want it to make money and you want it to be successful. But this is the type of movie that I think we're going to see a very personal Steven Spielberg when everybody gets a chance to see that particular film.
Well, so. I think Steven Spielberg, if he wanted to, could make a film that appealed to 25-year-olds just like that. But I
think absolutely.
I just think that at this point, I mean, I've heard critics say, or maybe just publicists, could be a publicist, this is the Steven Spielberg film we've been waiting for. because it is so autobiographical. And I've seen some of the trailers, and I'm so psyched to see it, I can't stand it. Because I think it's going to give not only a look inside Spielberg's, and of course, you know, it's not totally factual. It's based on reality.
Sure.
It's not reality. But there are some scenes in there about this kid making these films when he's younger, and wow, I'm just like, that. It blew me away. So, but then I get all psyched, as we were saying, and I turn around, and I can't find the damn theater near me that's showing the film. It's like, what?
Exactly.
It's crazy. Anything you want to, we got about 2 minutes left. Anything you want to get in here before we wrap it up?
Yeah, if you're really looking for something to see and you want to get out there and you're not looking for the regular mainstream stuff, you're going to hear about it come Oscar time, but both films I mentioned earlier, Tar and Banshees of Inisherin, mm-hmm. I would highly recommend people get out there and see. They are definitely not the all-big, you know, blockbuster crowd-pleaser type films, but one, they are the types of movies you're going to see get a lot of play around the Oscars, particularly Cate Blanchett will probably be nominated for, and I would say has a good chance to win Best Actress for that particular film. Director Todd Field, who also wrote it, did a phenomenal job directing that movie. But also Banshees of Inisherin is Martin McDonagh getting back together with Colin Farrell and yeah. Brendan Gleeson. And let me tell you, that movie is darn near perfect.
I absolutely
adored that movie, and I hope that it does exceptionally well, particularly in the writing category for the Oscars. But also, I think Colin Farrell has a real shot for the nomination this year, and he really did give the type of performance that I just can't stop thinking about. I thought it was perfect.
You know, I just suddenly flashed back on last year, and I think Coda was the hot film, one of them anyway.
Yes.
And that was only available on Apple Plus. So.
Yes.
It's, we'll see what happens. You know, it's a strange, movies are strange these days.
And don't count out Top Gun Maverick to have a few nominations come off.
Cool.
I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I think it has a shot at a few solid categories. The movie was clearly the movie of the summer. I think that
That's
goes
for
out,
sure.
Right?
Well, thank you, Blockbuster Blake. Thanks for being with us. And hope to talk to you again soon. Love talking to you.